بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين، أما بعد. Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has gathered us today once more to discuss the noble names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, His noble names that He has given to us through the Quran and through His Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We keep in mind first and foremost that the reason we study these names and learn about them is so that we can see their manifestation in our lives, and that through them and through learning about them, we can recognize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more in our lives and can get closer to Him through our actions. Ameen. So, when a person studies the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he quickly realizes that there are two kinds of names, two kinds of Asma'ul Husna. Now, the first kind of Asma'ul Husna are those names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that don't necessarily have a counterpart. These are names like Al-Qadir, Al-Alim, Al-Qahhar, Al-Jabbar, Al-Qadim, etc. These are names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that don't really have a counterpart, in the sense that when you think of them, there's no other word that comes to mind. When you think Al-Qadir, then from a linguistic standpoint, there's no other quality of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that's coming to mind. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is just Al-Qadir. Same thing with Al-Alim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is simply just Al-Alim, all-knowing at all times. But then there are other names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the second kind, which do have a linguistic counterpart. For example, when you think of Zahir, or apparent, then when someone thinks of apparency, then a lot of times they also think of Al-Batin, or the inner side of something. Whenever you think in the real world, when you think that something has a Zahir, an outer side, then a part of your mind tells you that it should probably have an inner side as well. So similarly, our mind thinks of these other counterparts for Allah, names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Same thing for Al-Qabid and Al-Basid. If something is holding back in the real world, then usually sometimes, then a part of our mind tells us that there are moments when it should also be giving out, Al-Basid. So similarly, our mind thinks of these linguistic counterparts for the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala affirms these through the hadith and the Quran, whether those are correct counterparts to have or not. And two such names that come up that we'll be discussing today, inshallah, are number one, Al-Khafid and Al-Rafi', and number two, Al-Mu'izz and Al-Mudhil. And it's important to study these names together, because if we don't study them together, then we end up not having a holistic understanding of the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Instead, our understanding becomes skewed. If a person only studies or learns about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as Al-Khafid or Al-Mudhil, then he doesn't realize or understand Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as someone who is also Al-Rafi' and who is also Al-Mu'izz. So studying these attributes is important because the being they describe is a being that holds all of these attributes, not just some or the other. So we can start with Al-Khafid and Al-Rafi'. Now the word Khafid comes from the root letters Khafada. So Kha, Fa, and Dad. And each of these has a specific connotation when you look at their semantic etymology. For example, the word Kha comes from the ancient Proto-Semitic letter of Het or Heth, which means a candle wick. Fa comes from the word Pe, meaning mouth, and then bad comes from sad, or T-S-A-D-E, also meaning around the same thing, or it refers to force or compulsion, like coming from the word fish hook, because fish hooks force a fish out of the water. So a lot of times what semantic scholars will do is that they'll combine the letters of the Proto-Semitic letters to come up with the meaning for the Arabic word. So Kha for wick, because wicks bind something. Fa from pe for mouth, because a mouth commands something. And then bad for fish hook, because fish hooks compel. So when you restrict something with a command by forcing it down, then you have done khafd of it. So in short, khafada means to lower something. So khafada is to lower something. And then rafa'a comes from the root letters of ra, fa, and ayn. Now, Ra comes from the ancient Semitic root meaning head, from Resh. Then, Fa, again from Pe, meaning mouth. And Ayn, from Ayin, or Ayin, meaning eye. Now, when something is the head of something, then it is at its most elevated position. When you say that he's the head of the company, for example, then that's because he's at the highest position of the company. And then as we discussed, fa for pe meaning mouth, but mouths often command or express desires or commands to other things. And then ayin, because when something is at an elevated position, resh, then it's often the case that the eyes have to look up towards it. So the word rafa'a is to put something at an elevated position by commanding it to do so such that others have to look up towards it. In other words, rafa'a means to raise. So khafada means to lower, and rafa'a means to raise. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala being al-khafid means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is someone who lowers. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala being al-rafi' is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala being someone that lifts or elevates. Now, how is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala someone who lowers, and how is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala someone who raises? Well, in his book Al-Amadul Aqsa, Qadi Abu Bakr ibn al-Arabi, a famous Maliki faqih, he explains that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-khafid and al-rafi' from two perspectives. Number one, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is khafid and al-rafi' when it comes to physical positioning or makan, in the sense that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has physically in his creation put some things over others. For example, those windows are above the ground, the ceiling is above those windows, and then the dome is above that ceiling, and then the sky is above that dome, etc., etc. In terms of the physical world around us, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it such from the beginning of time that he has placed some things above others. And he gives many personal examples as well. For example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, personal meaning very specific examples. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed his throne over the water. وَكَانَ عَرْشُهُ عَلَى الْمَاءِ. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the skies and the earth, he created his throne, and then he under the throne there was water. So the throne was above, and then the water was below the throne. Similarly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raised Isa alayhi salam to him. We know that Isa alayhi salam physically ascended to the samawat. He wasn't crucified, but instead Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took him back. Inni mutawaffika wa rafi'uka ilay. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told Isa alayhi salam that I will be taking you back and I will be raising you to me. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raised Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam above the Sidratul Muntaha in Al-Isra wal Mi'raj, where he physically lifted him up from this lowest heaven all the way to above the seventh heaven, to above Sidratul Muntaha, the lotus tree. So that's in terms of physical positioning. And in terms of spiritual, and now there's in terms of spiritual status, there's makana. So makan was physical positioning, and then makana is spiritual status. And from a universal perspective, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has raised humanity over all other non-humans, all other creations that aren't human. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, Surah Isra, وَلَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمَ, that we have honored Banu Adam, the son of Adam. In other words, humans. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has raised humans over all other creations. In that their status, if they perform good, and just in general, they are considered more universally to a higher status than other animals. For example, when you would consider a human a higher status than any other sort of animal, such as a dog or a cat. So because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given humans that innate honor. Then, so that's from a universal creation perspective. And then, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has also, from a religious perspective, raised specific groups or sets of people over other sets of people. For example, in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Mujadila that يَرْفَعِ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنْكُمْ وَالَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْعِلْمَ دَرَجَاتِ, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has raised those who believe from you. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has raised the believers, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has lowered the disbelievers. Because if the believers are raised as a group of people, then that must mean they are raised above some other group of people, and the opposite of believer are the non-believers. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has raised the believers over the non-believers in terms of status. And then if we go even more specifically, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has raised some sets of people over others. And that's, we can gain that from وَالَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْعِلْمَ دَرَجَاتِ, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given those who have knowledge even more levels. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has risen them to even greater heights. Because those who have knowledge are better than those who don't have knowledge. قُلْ هَلْ يَسْتَوِ الَّذِينَ يَعْلَمُونَ وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ, that say, are those who have knowledge equal to those who have no such knowledge? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has raised from a religious perspective specific groups or sets of people in their spiritual status over other people. And Imam Ghazali writes in his Al-Maqsad al-Asna, his book on the Asma'ul Husna, on the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he writes in Al-Khafid al-Rafi'. He says, هُوَ الَّذِي يَخْفِضُ الْكُفَّارَ بِالْإِشْقَى. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who lowers the disbelievers بِالْإِشْقَى, by manifesting their transgression, or by censuring them, by taking them to task. وَيَرْفَعُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ بِالْإِسْعَادِ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helps the believers, raises the believers by helping them, by granting them His aid. يَرْفَعُ أَوْلِيَاءَهُ بِالتَّقْرِيبِ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more specifically raises His close friends, His boon friends, His awliya. We know the awliya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are so close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that in a hadith they are the only other thing that if they are violated, if the awliya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are violated or fought against, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says he takes the violator to war against that. And the only other sin for which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that He takes to war against is riba. So the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has brought His friends, His awliya, to such a close stage by raising them is a sign of how close they are to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of how high He has raised them. وَيَخْفِضُ أَعْدَاءَهُ بِالْإِبْعَادِ. And on the other hand, if the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are raised, then the opposite of a friend is an enemy, and the enemies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are lowered. And how are they lowered? Because in the dunya, for example, they might seem like they're really high, they might live in mansions, they might have a lot of money, etc. But in terms of iba'ad min Allah, that in terms of their closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then there is barely any. Because they've been pushed far and far away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we seek protection from that, we seek protection in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from being from His a'da'. We instead ask that we are from His awliya. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raises His awliya, and He suppresses and keeps far away from Him, far away in terms of status, His enemies. And in Surah Waqi'ah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Himself uses these root words of khafada and rafa'a to describe the Day of Judgment. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Waqi'ah, khafidatul rafi'a. So when He's talking about the waqi'ah, the inevitable outcome, which is the Day of Judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes it as being khafida, something that puts down, and rafi'ah, something that lifts up. And in his tafsir, Ibn al-Jawzi explains what this means. And it's the same meaning that we've been describing, where he says there's two meanings for this. The first one is that khafida refers to, that khafidatul rafi'ah refers to the sayha, the blast of the horn, in which case khafidatul rafi'ah, khafidah meaning that it calls the close people, and rafi'ah, it calls the far people. So in other words, the sayhatul qiyamah will get everyone. But then also he says the second meaning is that khafidah is that on the Day of Judgment, some souls will be lowered and they'll be suppressed and thrown into the fire in asfalus safilin, whereas others will be raised and taken to a'la al-illiyin, and they'll be taken to the highest levels of Jannah. So in the same way, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and so in the same way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made Qiyamah a cataclysm that lowers some people and elevates others, He Himself is the reason that system exists. He himself is the reason that some are lowered, the kuffar and his enemies are lowered, and others are raised, the mu'mineen and his boon friends, his awliya. And in Lawami'ul Bayyinat, Imam Razi's book on the Asma'ul Husna, he mentions that that other scholars add to this that on top of being khafilatul rafi'ah, meaning that Allah lowers some statuses and raises others, Allah subhanahu, what this also means is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praises some of His believers and blames or reprimands others. Madah and them. Madah, praise, and them, reprimand, or reprimand for something, or curse. And even in English we say this. For example, if someone is insulting someone, we say, hey, stop putting them down. Putting them down is an expression that's used when someone is insulted or when someone is rebuked or reprimanded. And when someone is talked up, then that's because they are praised to a very high extent. Similarly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raises the statuses of some people by praising them. Because obviously a person who is praised by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not someone with a low status in His eyes. And similarly, a person who is reprimanded or rebuked by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the extent of them, to the extent of actually, to the extent of blaming them, is also not someone who has a high status in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Khafidatul Rafi'ah has an extent of not only lifting their statuses in terms of their spiritual status, but also accomplishing that by praising them or by blaming them. And in Sharh Asma'illahi al-Husna, Imam Qushayri writes all the different manifestations of how Rafa' and Khafd happen. He mentions that وَرَفَعَ الدِّينَ وَشِعَارَ, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He raises the deen and all its emblems. So all its all the things that you think about when you think about the deen, the adhan, tawheed, etc. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raises these things. وَيَخْفِضُ الْكُفْرَ وَآثَارَ, and then kufr, disbelief, and all its elements, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala degrades. وَرَفَعَ التَّوْحِيدَ وَدَلِيلَ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has risen tawheed, declaring His divine singularity, وَدَلِيلَ, and those things that call towards it, those things that remind you of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's tawheed. وَيَخْفِضُ الْإِلْحَادَ وَسَبِيلَ, but He has suppressed and degraded ilhad, transgression or disbelief, and sabila, the path to going towards transgression. وَرَفَعَ الْإِسْلَامَ وَأَنْوَارَ, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has raised Islam and its illuminations. نُورٌ عَلَى نُورٌ, اللَّهُ نُورُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. وَيَخْفِضُ الْأَصْنَامِ, وَمَنْ رَضِيَ بِتَعْظِيمِهَا وَأَحْقَارَ, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has raised Islam and He has degraded the asnam, the idols that they used to worship in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And even nowadays, when people have taken different idols besides Him, they have taken role models who shouldn't be taken as role models, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala degrades those and suppresses those and keeps them far away. وَرَفَعَ الْقُلُوبَ بِتَقْدِيبِهِ, and he subhanahu wa ta'ala has raised the hearts by drawing them close to Him. وَخَفَضَ النُّفُوسَ بِحُكْمِ تَعْذِيبِهِ, and He has suppressed and driven far away from Him the nufus, the nafs, the evil egos of people by punishing them when they try to transgress against Him. So these are just a lot of the different manifestations of how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is khafd and rafa'. Khafd and Rafa', both in terms of physical positioning, in that some things are raised and lowered, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has physically brought some things to the heavens and physically lowered other things down. And similarly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Khafid and Rafi' from a spiritual perspective, where those who are close to Him and the Muslimin, He has elevated to a higher status than their already pre-existing karama as being humans. And then similarly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has lowered and driven far away from Him those enemies of His who transgress against Him, and we seek Allah's protection from that, and we seek to be from those who are His awliya. Now, the purpose, as we mentioned, of learning the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to see their manifestations in our lives. So how can we witness the manifestation of Khafd and Rafa' in our own lives? Well, Imam Ghazali explains this in his Al-Asna. He mentions that what the servant should extrapolate from these names is that he should raise the truth and lower or strike down falsehood. So in an attempt to try and manifest these qualities in our own lives, we can do so to whatever extent we can by trying to raise up truth. And how do we do that? He also explains. He says, a servant can accomplish this by helping the truth. So when you help the truth, that means helping the causes of truth. For example, helping masajid, helping schools, helping causes like charities for overseas, or even just helping different good causes for around the world, like saving rainforests are being destroyed, etc. All these are causes of truth. They're causes that help the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, help the Muslims, help the mu'mineen, help the awliya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And on the other hand, he can also scorn falsehood. For example, he can protest against falsehood. He can fight against falsehood. He can write against falsehood. He can speak out against it. These are all different methods of doing khafd of batil. By doing so, Imam Ghazali says, he fights against the enemies of Allah and suppresses them. Because when you fight against butlan in whatever way you can, even if it's on a personal level by just not adhering to butlan, then you're also not adhering to the enemies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you're trying to drive them far away from yourself, the same way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has driven them far away from Himself. And then he helps the boon friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he helps the awliya, the same way, and he draws closer to them, the same way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَلِلَّهِ الْمَثَلُ الْأَعْلَى, in a more perfect manner, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has brought the awliya closer to Him. And how can we practice on rafa' on a more personal level? Imam Ghazali says that if a person raises yarfa', if a person raises his sights beyond just the world in front of him, and he raises his sights beyond the reprehensible evil desires and impulses of the nafs, So on a more personal level, when we do rafa of our sights above simply the world around us, we realize that there is more to the world, a metaphysical reality beyond just the cause and effect of this world, where we have to strive every single day for the next cent, or we have to strive every single day for the next dollar, or that every single occurrence of our in our lives is just because of the because of serendipity, or because there's nothing beyond it. Then when if a believer can raise his sight above that and can realize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's effect on his life every single day, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will raise him, he says to the ufuq afaq al malaika, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raises him all the way to the angelic horizons, referring to Jannah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes him from the muqarrabin, from the close servants. So Imam Ghazali teaches us that the ways to manifest these qualities in our lives is by practicing the raf'ul haq and khafdul batil, by striving to help the causes of truth and by lowering and suppressing the causes of falsehood. So in any way you can, whether that's protesting or doing your own good daily actions, because even those daily actions are your form of upholding the truth, or by going out in the path of da'wah and tabligh, of calling people to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those are all methods of nasr al-haq and raf' al-haq. And then also by raising our sights beyond just the shahawat of the nafs, where whatever our nafs wants, that's what we do. But instead, we raise our sights beyond that. And we see that, instead we have to follow the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, keeping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in mind. But what happens if a person doesn't do that? What happens if a person doesn't practice rafa in their own lives? Well, Imam Ghazali explains that too. He says that if a person restricts himself to only the world around him, he does khafd of his and qasr of his eyesight to just the world around him. And he says, and his goals are the exact same as the base desires of animalistic brutes, dhamimat of baha'im, that when all of his desire, all of his actions are just to fulfill the goals of his desires, where he desires money, so he just gathers money, where he desires to do the wrong actions, so he just does the wrong actions, where he desires to gain the wrong sort of popularity or fame, so he does that, and all he does is to attain his shahawat and his evil impulses. Then what happens? Then he says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will lower him to the darakat, to the dungeons of the asfalu safineen, to the lowest of the low. And no one can do that, he says, except Allah. Because Allah is al-khafid and al-rafir. So we seek protection in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from his khafd, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us his rafa', his raising. Now we can move on to al-mu'iz and al-mudhil. And so the word al-mu'iz comes from the root letters ayn and za. So ayn za za, because technically zai is there's the shadda on the zai iz means there's two of them. And as we did from before, we can examine these words Semitically. So the Semitic root for ayn, as we mentioned, is ayn or I, and then for zai comes from the word that depicts a fetter like a chain or armor. So for example, even in the Hebrew language, azaz means to make strong or to armor something. So similarly, when you've done that, when you're carrying out and visualizing or expressing this armoring oneself, then in that way, when you armor yourself, then you are attaining strength. And when you attain strength, then you attain glory and honor. So the word al-mu'izz means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who grants honor. But similarly, when a person has to put on armor to gain strength. And when he puts on, and only through putting that on that armor can he gain strength that gains him honor. So similarly, gaining izzah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is something that that demands accomplishment from our own sides. That when and we'll get into this more, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to see the striving from us so that he grants us honor. And so if izzah is an act of armoring yourself and gaining strength and then gaining honor, and it's that active effort to gaining honor, then dhul or dhillah is debasement and disgracement. And a disgrace is not only because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decides one day, na'udhu billah, to just disgrace a random servant of his by randomly choosing, na'udhu billah. Instead, when servants make the active choices to disgrace themselves, how? By doing the wrong things, by sinning, by doing bad deeds. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chooses to disgrace them. We know that in the Quran, there's the verse that, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِقَوْمٍ حَتَّى يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِأَنفُسِهِمْ in Surah Al-Ra'd, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that he does not change the good condition of a people until they themselves decide to change their bad states. Until they themselves decide to change their good state into a bad state. So when there is a nation of a prophet, for example, then if they are performing good actions, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not just punish them out of nowhere. But if they resort to idolatry or zina or riba or cheating people in their sales or worshipping the wrong thing or violating the sacraments and the sha'air of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then when they commit those actions, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala retaliates with punishment and dhilla. For example, we know that in the Quran, when the nation of Musa alayhi salam, the Bani Israel, at one point was receiving the gifts of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through manna and salwa. Manna meaning heavenly food and salwa meaning heavenly birds from Jannah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would feed them with while they were in the valley. But then one day the Bani Israel, one thing that was common about them that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stresses is that they were ungrateful in the Quran. And he stresses this so that we can be grateful to him. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be grateful to him, where he mentions that at one point the Bani Israel, they were ungrateful about these gifts, these heavenly food from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they told Musa alayhi salam that, Musa alayhi salam, we're tired of this. So instead ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us all these different earthly fruits and vegetables, min baqliha wa qitha'iha wa fumiha wa adasiha wa basaliha. Give us some lentils, some onions, some garlic, etc., etc. And Musa alayhi salam got angry at this. He says, "Atastabdiluna alladhi huwa adna billadhi huwa khair?" That are you trying to replace what was better for you, manna and salwa, the food from Jannah, with what's worse for you, just random fruits and earth from earth? But then he says, "Fine, go down to the valley. Ihbitu misra fa innakum ma sa'altum." Because over there you'll find what you need. Then what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say after that? Because of that, he said, "Well, duribat alayhim adh-dhillatu wal maskana." That because of their Because they had the active desire and they actively asked for something worse and that they were ungrateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah says, we struck down upon them dhilla, debasement, disgrace, wal maskana, and just denigration, debasement from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we see that there's a very intimate connection between rafa and izzah. If someone is raised, then they are automatically also given honor. Where Rafa and Izzah are almost synonymous, that if a person has glory, then you're going to expect them to be raised. And even if a person doesn't have glory in this world, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants them that glory in the next world by raising them. And similarly, there's a very intimate connection then between dhilla and khafd. That if a person is lowered, then automatically that is a form of disgrace. Why would you want to be lowered or disgraced by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So then this understanding is even in the Quran of قُلِ اللَّهُمَّ مَالِكَ الْمُلْكِ. Say that, O Allah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the king and the owner of all things, of the entire dominion of the cosmos. تُؤْتِ الْمُلْكَ مَنْ تَشَاءُ. That you are the one who gives ownership and dominion to whomsoever you will. وَتَنْزِعُ الْمُلْكَ مِمَّنْ تَشَاءُ. And you take that away from people as well. وَتُعِزُّ مَنْ تَشَاءُ. And in doing that, you honor whomsoever you will. وَتُذِلُّ مَنْ تَشَاءُ. And in doing that, then you may also debase and disgrace whomsoever you will. So in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's engagement with his servants is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's rafa' and khafd of his servants and their statuses as well. And in his izzah of them, he is doing rafa' of them. In his khafd of them, he is debasing them and disgracing them. He is doing their dhilla. And that's why they're also in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that man kana yuridu al-izzata falillahi al-izzatu jami'a. That whoever so wants glory, then all glory is to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So rather than turning to things that grant you no glory in the dunya, because the dunya itself comes from the word dunu, meaning lowliness and ephemerality, then instead turn to some being, some entity that is higher and that is more perfect and eternal, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So man kana yuridu al-izzata falillahi al-izzatu jami'a, ilayhi yas'adu al-kalimu al-tayyib, that to him elevates or ascends the good word, al-kalim al-tayyib, referring to the shahada, la ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That when we say this, that is a statement that elevates itself, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala elevates through the heavens, through the gates of the heaven, all the way to himself, in that he grants it such a high level. Wal-amalu salihu yarfa'u, that same word of rafa', and righteous actions, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raises them. So from this, automatically understand that if we want to see the practical manifestation of izzah in our lives, that comes from doing good actions, that comes from doing amal al-salih, and from reinstating the shahada in our lives every single day. By doing dhikr of la ilaha illallah, by doing dhikr of salawat, by doing dhikr of la ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and practically embodying those adjectives and those qualities by doing amal al-salih, by doing righteous actions, by going out in the path of Allah, by calling people to the path of Allah, by praying our tahajjud, by praying our five salawat, by giving our zakat, by going for hajj, by going for umrah, by fasting in the month of Ramadan, by fasting on the recommended days of fasting. All of these are things that grant us izzah when we perform them for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because فَلِلَّهِ الْعِزَّةُ جَمِيعًا. And Imam Ghazali writes that the utter epitome, the utter acme, or the utter apogee of all izzah is when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to a servant that, Ya ayyatuha nafsul mutma'inna, O contented soul of mine, O contented servant of mine, irji'i ila rabbiki radiyatan mardiyya, that go and return to your Lord contented and pleased, fadkhuli fi ibadi, and enter amongst my servants, wadkhuli jannati, and enter my paradise. That is the highest level that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself is addressing a servant, calling them a contented, happy, pleased soul, one that he is happy with, and telling them to return to his own paradise. He doesn't use jannatina, that our, no, but when he uses the first person pronoun, that is a more intimate connection with the servant, that fadkhuli fi ibadi, that enter my, from my servants, wadkhuli jannati, and enter my jannah. But on the opposite hand, the ghaya, the epitome of dhilla, of debasement, is in Surah Hadid. So the first is in Surah Fajr, that was actually recited today in Fajr, and the second is Surah Hadid, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَكِنَّكُمْ فَتَنْتُمْ أَنفُسَكُمْ وَتَرَبَّصْتُمْ وَارْتَبَتُمْ وَغَرَّتْكُمُ الْأَمَانِي, that you, but then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is addressing the kuffar, that no, you just tricked yourself, that you committed so many grave actions, you violated the sacraments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَتَرَبَّصْتُمْ وَارْتَبَتُمْ, you trialed yourself, وَغَرَّتْكُمُ الْأَمَانِي, and your own vain impulses and vain hopes deceived you, حَتَّى جَاءَ أَمْرُ اللَّهِ, until أَمْرُ اللَّهِ came, death came, قِيَامَ came, وَغَرَّكُمْ بِاللَّهِ الْغَرُورِ, and you were just utterly deceived in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We seek protection in deceiving ourselves. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he instead enlightens us and makes us from his nafs, that he makes us from those who have nafsun mutma'inna. And the same way that putting on your armor, as we mentioned, from azaz, from izzah, that etymologically it means to put on armor to strengthen yourself, then putting on armor is an active effort. So attaining nafsul mutma'inna is an active effort. That you have to, that it's, that there is a structure and a rank that people have to ascend from having nafsul ammara, a nafs that just commands evil, that wants to do as much evil as possible, that is impulsive, to nafsul lawama, one that feels sorry, that has regret for the sins that it commits, to mutma'inna, one that is contented in its good actions, one that is content because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is content with it. So how do we reach that? Well, the Sufiya mentioned that, well, it's the same way as we do anything else. It's by doing good actions. And they describe the nafs the way you would describe a wild horse, where horses, they start out, for example, wild horses are extremely untamable almost, where they're extremely rowdy. And if a person tries to ride them, then the horse bucks against them, and the horse tries to throw them off, and the horse tries to do whatever it wants, regardless of what its rider wants. We are the riders of those horses, and the horses are our nufus, the nafs. So what to do is that we have to practice a strong level of consistency on our actions. If a rider just lets a horse do whatever it wants, and he neglects to pull the reins against the horse, then the horse literally takes him for a ride. It just takes him wherever it wants. It does whatever it wants, and the rider can't do anything. But if a rider maintains consistency in his amal of pulling the horse back, of reining the horse back, then at first it is hard. At first the horse will fight against it. But if a rider continues to practice amal, his good amal of reining in the horse, then at a certain point there comes a time where the horse decides to listen to the rider. And we see, for example, like Queen's Guards in, for example, in London, for example, the ceremonial horses they have are extremely well trained. Why? Because that they don't just start out, come from the wild well trained. No, but there's a system of training horses to the extent where a person can easily ride them, and wherever the rider wants to go, then the horse goes with them. And sure, sometimes the horse gets distracted, but then it's much easier to just buck the horse and pull the reins back onto the right track. Similarly,
practicing similarly controlling the nafs is something that has a lot of requires a lot of consistency. It requires a lot of doing good actions no matter the cost. Doing a lot of good actions even if things seem hard. Even if things seem like there's no other way out. But when we practice good actions for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself says that he does rafa' and i'zaz. He honors and he raises those actions to him. And as a result, slowly our nafs becomes more and more malleable until it is malleable by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he himself is the one who channels it for us to become one of his contented servants. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he makes us from those servants of his who are raised on the day of judgment, those who he has given an elevated status, those who are not done khaft of, those who are not lowered, those who are not suppressed, those who are not degraded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We ask that he gives us the highest izzah of seeing his ineffable face on the day of judgment, of being able to have murafaqah with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Jannah, of being able to be neighbors with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Jannatul Firdaus al-A'la, that he does not debate us the way he debased those before us, that he does not disgrace us, that he does not forget us and does not speak to us and does not. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he saves us from not speaking to us, from not looking at us, from not granting us any mercy, and that instead he grants us all of his mercy, all of his grace, all glory on the day of judgment, and all rafa', all elevation. Ameen wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.